Good morning. Good morning. Beautiful day here in Fairhaven. I hope you're having a great day. Remember, at 11 o'clock, we'll be joined by Ward 1 City Councilor Leo Choquette. I'm now happy to welcome into the studio my old radio partner, Jose Matos. I was Jose's producer for a couple of years, Jose?
Yep, absolutely.
We had a lot of fun doing that. I learned a lot. I hope you folks at home are going to learn a lot today. I know a lot of you don't get a chance to listen to Jose on the weekends. You have different schedules. And I have been talking about the tax bill, the Trump savings account. But I thought I'd bring an expert in, someone who's in this business. He's a financial planner, has been for decades, and someone who I've learned a lot from, Jose Matos. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning to you and the listeners.
Jose,
thank you for the invite.
Oh, anytime, my friend. We have a lot of changes coming up, and I thought there was nobody better than you to come in and talk about them. You were just telling me something very interesting about the form for the new Trump savings accounts. Let's talk about that.
Sure.
Start with that.
I brought this up with Sierra a couple of weeks ago. And then another moderator asked me if I could stay on, and I said that day I couldn't, so he invited me. So this past Saturday, I stayed on. And it didn't click right away when I looked at the form when I did the program with Sierra. But then, as I was looking at the form, readying myself for last week's program, and I can say who it is, right?
Sure.
Yeah, Brian.
Yeah.
Okay, so then it clicked. The number on the form, and it's a federal form, 4547. And if listeners don't know what that means, they should. Okay,
Trump was the 45th president,
and now
the 47th.
That's right. And it was ironic,
yes,
kind of, but in a good way.
Yeah, I like
that. The form was numbered after his two presidencies, and you know, there's only been one other president that did the same thing, in that he was a president for 4 years, lost his second term, and then re-won his second term, the third go-around.
And that president was?
I know him. I can't remember him off the top of my head right now. I don't know if it was Cleveland.
It was Cleveland.
Okay.
It was Cleveland. Yeah. He was a hard money guy. Gold, silver, stuff like that. Mostly gold.
Yep.
So, let's start with no tax on tip. That's been modified a little bit or clarified. I guess clarified.
A little bit.
Yeah. Talk about that. What does that mean?
Well, okay, so I don't have all of the ins and outs for the no tax on tips yet.
Right.
But most employers, even before this tax on tips, they had, again, through the federal government, they had to set up a system on their payroll to take information in from their tipped employees, waiters, waitresses, valets, you name it. If they're earning tips, they were supposed to already report that through their employer, through payroll.
Okay.
Now, whether everybody did or not, it's not for me to judge.
Right.
Okay. But I know that everybody is doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, because nobody wants to bypass or evade taxes, because that's illegal.
Yes.
Tax evasion. Tax avoidance is not illegal. It's actually very legal.
Yes.
It's where you find deductions.
It's encouraged. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So the tax on tips thing is supposed to lower, or I'm not going to say it's going to lower everything, because again, we're talking about the government, okay? But it's supposed to lower the tax on the tip that you are actually showing. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some people that do report a portion of their tips through their payroll, but again, it's tip money, it's cash. Cash doesn't talk.
Right.
So again, if somebody is doing that, and I would never encourage that.
Correct.
Okay? But again, that's their decision.
Yes.
That's their risk that they're taking if all of a sudden they get a letter from the IRS that wants to see their books. And how can you be living a $100,000 lifestyle and earn $20,000?
Right.
Okay, that's how people get caught. Okay, but I don't, and I will. I will look up the rest of the clarification on that. Okay, now, next.
Yes.
Because he ran on a lot of things, but three of them had to do with money.
Yes, so, go ahead.
No tax on overtime.
Yes.
So everybody was ecstatic. No tax on overtime. Here's the issue, okay? This very first year, I guarantee you, your employer is not going to segregate or separate what your overtime was and what your regular 40 hours are.
Okay.
Okay, they didn't have enough time to do that.
Okay.
There's going to be, for 2026, again, for the employers, I'm assuming another form that they have to file to do that separation so that when you get your W-2, it'll already be separated.
Okay.
So what have I already said on air? This is the third time.
Yes.
Keep your last pay stub for the year.
All right.
Even if you get it in early January, because you will know what you earned all of 2025.
Yep.
And in that, there's a breakdown. There's your regular 40-hour work week.
Right.
There's vacation time, which doesn't count towards the no tax on overtime.
Okay.
There might be sick time. There might be, if you're in the medical field or other fields, that they pay you a little extra for working nights or working, okay?
A shift differential,
right,
yeah.
Right, there might be that. None of that's going to count.
Okay.
What's going to count is the overtime. And everybody was ecstatic, because I even thought, okay, so if you work 10 hours overtime and you're earning $20 an hour normally, mm-hmm. you're going to earn $30 for that time frame.
Right.
Okay. Well, it's not quite exactly like that.
All right.
It's you have to, on the overtime. So let's say you worked 50 hours for the week.
Okay.
40 hours is normal time.
Yes.
10 hours is overtime.
Okay.
Well, what's going to count is the differential for the overtime amount. You're not actually taking. So if you worked at $20 an hour and you're working $30 an hour on the overtime.
Yep.
The first 20 of that 30, you don't get to deduct. It's only the amount extra, the extra $10
okay.
as the time and
the half. The overtime, yeah.
The overtime. But people were thinking overtime, all of the hours. So if I work 10 hours, that's, you know, at $30 an hour, I'm going to deduct a whole 30.
Right.
No,
that's not
it's
the case.
It's the extra 10 above your normal pay for the overtime, which is still great.
Oh, yeah,
it's
fantastic.
Great benefit, okay? Listen, the least you can pay to, I tell people all the time, once you give it to Uncle Sam, it's not coming back. And the only reason
back.
It comes back, it doesn't fall out of the sky like a miracle. If you get a refund, that's because you over withheld.
Yes.
Okay. So. And then no tax on Social Security.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't pan out the way it was originally talked about.
Okay.
Because it would have to go through Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't going to be enough time.
Right.
So, again, what did the government do? They increased the standard deduction for 65 year olds and over. So if you're 62, 63, 64, and you're already collecting Social Security,
mm-hmm.
and maybe you have a pension, and maybe you're taking money out of your retirement accounts, even though you're not mandated to because you're not RMD age yet.
Okay.
Okay. You don't qualify for that extra deduction until you're 65. So at 65. So the standard deduction for couples for this year was going to be $30,000.
Okay.
When the One Big Beautiful Bill came out, that was tweaked to increase it to $31,500.
Okay.
And then if you're over 65, so my wife and I would qualify if we used the standard deduction for that $31,500.
Okay.
But if you're 65, you get an extra standard deduction of $1,600 per person. That's $3,200 for the couple.
Right.
Added to the $31,500. So you're already at $34,700, I believe.
Okay.
If one of you is 65 and the other is not, you get one $1,600. The other one doesn't yet.
Okay.
And if you're single filing by yourself, that extra deduction, so your standard deduction goes to half. It was going to be $15,000. Now it's going to be $15,075, I believe.
Okay.
But you get an extra $2,000 instead of $1,600 as the added deduction for being over 65. The extra deduction now is going to be $6,000 per person. So if you're single, it's six. If you're married and both of you are over 65, it's 12.
Mm.
And that $12,000 extra increases your standard deduction to, I believe, $46,000
plus. Okay.
And that extra deduction is to help then offset the tax on Social Security.
Oh, that's how they did it.
Yeah. But there's phase outs. So if you are single, once you hit $75,000, your $6,000 starts to get phased out. So you don't get to use the whole $6,000.
So much for tax breaks for the rich.
If you are a couple and both of you are over 65, and you would qualify for the $12,000. When you hit $150,000 in income or over, that then also starts to get phased out. So I currently have a client who is already RMD age. RMD is required minimum distribution, where you're mandated to have to start taking money out. So he is at that age already. Okay. And then I had a conversation with him one day about potentially converting his pre-tax retirement account to the Roth, which you can do. You can do it all at once, which I normally don't recommend because you're going to get whacked for taxes big time because you have to pay the tax in the year that you move it. Or you can do it incrementally. So he said, I want to do as much as I can, but not to go over the 12% tax bracket. So he doesn't want to go into the 22 or 24.
Makes sense.
So I calculated. Originally, I thought, okay, maybe we can do about $80,000. I redid the calculation. I said, that's too much. I said, we're going to back this out. Then I came up with a lower number, but it was still much too, it was too low in comparison to what he could do.
Okay.
So then I had my tax girl input his numbers and see approximately what we could do. He can move $58,000 from his pre-tax account into his Roth account. So he is going to pay taxes on his RMD, which is a little over $12,000.
Okay.
And then he's going to pay tax on the balance of the $58,000, but move that into the Roth. That's actually doing two things. He is taking future taxable money and moving it into a future tax-free account.
Huge.
Okay. But it's also lowering his future RMDs because the number that's in the pre-tax is going to be lowered by the amount that he's moving.
Jose, if people want to get this sort of advice on a personal level, how do they get in touch with you?
They can call at the office, 508-678-3715. They can visit at 725 State Road.
They're Don't touch talk anything to in the office, though.
They're going to talk to Donna. She's going to tell you what to bring in.
He's got really delicate chips and
sometimes.
Things like that
sometimes.
In the office. I know because I touch them.
He didn't actually break anything.
I didn't break anything, but it was as close as you could get without breaking it. I was like Tommy Boy.
And then
go ahead. You know what we'll do, Jose? We'll take a break. We'll take a break, and we'll come back. We'll talk more about this. By the way, if you have a question, anything about money, anything about the tax changes, the Trump savings account, we're going to talk about that. You can give us a call here at 508-996-0500. If you have a more specific question, I'll make sure Jose gives out his direct line again before we finish the program. Because some of you don't want to ask a question about a personal nature specifically without, you know, on the air. I get that. But Jose's always available in his office and by cell phone. And we'll take a break and then we'll be right back. Stick around.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-05.
People say I'm crazy, doing what I'm doing. Well, they give me all kinds of warnings to save me from ruin.
Welcome back to the program. We have Jose Matos in here, kind of a special appearance. We're talking about the Trump tax bill, the big, beautiful bill, and the Trump savings account. If you have a question about any of that, you can reach Jose here on the air with me at 508-996-0500. Let's talk about the Trump savings accounts. What's that
we
mean?
We are, but I'm going to mention something.
Sure,
that's
go
prior.
Ahead. Of
okay,
course.
So the no tax on tips and no tax on overtime. There is already, I haven't seen it yet, but I've already read somewhere that there is already a form for that also. Okay. I believe it's going to be called SA1 or AS1. It sounds to me like the Schedule A. That's why the A is in there, I believe.
Okay.
But the one being that it's not your regular deduction. So Schedule A is where you can file to deduct certain things on your own. And if it's higher than the standard deduction, you get to use your Schedule A number. If it's lower, you would want to use the schedule, the standard deduction number, because you always want the bigger of the two deductions.
Sure.
Okay. And on your Schedule A, you can deduct your home mortgage interest, you can deduct your taxes, you can deduct your excise tax on your vehicles, you can deduct gifts to church or charity.
Okay.
You can deduct casualty, theft, or losses. And there's another line for some extras, okay? You were limited to assault tax deduction, which was about $10,000 last year. I believe that number was increased. But again, if you're over a certain amount,
right,
you're still limited on that number. So if all of your numbers come out to the bigger of the 15050 or 31500, if your number on Schedule A is bigger than that, you get to use yours. If not, you would default to Schedule A. Again, you want the bigger deduction.
You want the bigger deduction. Right. How do people get in touch with you, Jose?
They can call at 508-678-3715.
The Trump savings accounts.
Yes. Okay. So I have a little cheat sheet here, okay? And then I actually have a story that was already written or the actual IRS from their site that they already put together. So I can go over either one of them afterwards.
Sure.
I usually think the stories are a little bit more fun.
Yeah, I love stories.
You know, the government thing is, you know, kind of dreary. And,
right.
Yeah. If you ever want to get put to sleep, go find one of their publications. Okay, so this is an overview for the Trump accounts. To qualify for the initial $1,000 Trump account deposit, a child must be a U.S. citizen born between January 1st of 2025 and December 31st of 2028. Mm-hmm. Okay. It does not say that you have to do it right away. I haven't seen that yet.
Okay.
Okay. So if you waited out till 28, your child could be going on 3 already. Okay.
Sure.
And why December 31st of 2028? Because that's soon he's going to end his term at that time.
Right.
Okay. And whoever puts his shoes on afterwards, and the him, I'm talking President Trump.
Yes.
Whoever puts his shoes on afterwards, if it is from the same party, they might continue it.
Right.
If it's not, they might abolish it.
Right.
Okay. When when President Trump in his first term revamped all of the tax situation, that's why we got lower tax brackets.
Right.
And higher standard deduction amounts. Okay. When Biden came around, he could have dismantled that, and he didn't, so it stayed.
Right.
Okay. When President Trump won his second election, obviously it was him, it was his idea, you know, he decided on putting it together. I knew he was going to keep it.
Right.
Because it was supposed to have sunset at the end of this year, for mm-hmm. 2026. It was supposed to go back to what it was in 2018 or 17 or 19 or whatever it was.
Right.
And that's not going to happen now. It's going to remain as is.
Because they passed the big, beautiful bill.
But that was also part of it.
Yes.
Yes. I don't believe that even if they had, that they would have changed the tax situation that he put together in his first go around.
Okay.
I think he would have kept it.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so born between January 1st of 2025 and December 31st of 2028 and have a Social Security number. Well, nowadays, most, if not all, children leaving the hospital already leave with a Social Security number. But let's say that you're American parents, you're in the military out of the country, or you're an expat and living in another country, but you've got your citizenship,
yep,
and your baby is born, the baby is going to be a U.S. citizen because you are.
Right.
But they might not get their Social Security number right away.
Okay.
Okay, so then when you come back to the U.S. one day, then you go to Social Security and you apply for it. Okay. A parent or guardian can open an account for a qualifying child.
Okay.
So guardian meaning what? Well, let's say you're the grandparents,
sure,
or the godparents, uncle, aunt, okay, and something happened to the parents and now you're the legal guardian, you can open up the account for the child also.
Okay.
While any parent can open an account, only children born in the specified 2025 through 2028 window are eligible for the government's initial $1,000 deposit. So if your child was born December 31st of 2024.
Yes.
They don't qualify.
They don't qualify.
No. Eligible for the $1,000 seed money. So what's a seed? It's a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because there's more to it, and I'll mention that in a little bit. Citizenship, the child must be a U.S. citizen, like I mentioned earlier. Birth date, must be born between January 1st of 25 and December 31st of 28. Must have a social security number. A parent can open an account, so parent status. A parent can open an account regardless of their own immigration status.
Oh, that's interesting.
So a non-citizen, maybe a green card holder, let's say, okay, their child currently is able to have the account open for them.
Very interesting.
Opening the account. Parents or guardians can open an account for a qualifying child. The account can be opened using IRS Form 4547, which is expected to be available in early 2026. Now, we were talking off air a little bit about the irony of the number on the form.
Yes.
Because this is the third time I'm talking about this on air, so thank you again for the invite.
Yes.
I did it when I was with a couple of weeks ago when I was with Sierra at my, on my own program, and it didn't click right away.
Right.
And then when I was asked to stay on this past Saturday with Brian, I was looking at the form again, and I went, I was like surprised, okay, 4547, okay? And the government's $1,000 contribution can be requested at the time of opening the account using the same form. Now, it's seed money. It's money coming from the government.
Mm-hmm.
Where's it going to go?
Where is it going to go, Jose?
It's going to go into an investment of some sort. And you probably wouldn't want to put it in the bank. You'd probably want to put it in securities.
Right.
And have the potential for much better growth.
How would someone do that?
They can call me.
Yes.
They don't have to call me.
They don't.
Find a financial advisor that you have. You can get a relationship with.
Right.
If you already have one, ask them.
Yes.
Okay. If you don't have one and you come and see me, now you can say, I got a guy.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. I got a guy.
I got a guy.
Because this money is real. This is real money.
Yes. Yes.
For young couples, mostly, I would assume.
Yes.
Who are out there starting a family. And a lot of young people, as we know, don't really know how to get involved in the stuff. They ought to, but they don't have a guy. How do they get, as an example, how would they get in touch with you?
508-678-3715, 725 State Road, if you want to visit, because I have a lot of people that will go by the office. Just wanted to see where it was so that when I make the appointment, I don't get here late.
Right.
That happens too.
No, it's a great location.
Thank you.
And listen, guys, I spent a number of years doing this program, a type of program with Jose. Let me tell you something. He's seen every situation. He can talk to regular people about problems that are not, that are irregular, I would say.
Talking to them, explaining it to them, not talking at them, and not talking in financial legal ease, that'll go over your head a lot of times.
Right.
And you'll walk out of my office like a deer in the headlights.
Right.
No. When I explain something, I want the client to know. The more my client understands, the easier my job is.
And you understand about blended families and kids.
I have a
bonus child.
I have a blended family.
Yeah, exactly. And bonus child and all those type of things.
Yeah.
And they all qualify for this stuff.
Well, mine wouldn't anymore.
No, they wouldn't.
Okay. Mine wouldn't anymore. But yes, I do understand blended families.
We know there's a bunch of crying kids out there right now that qualify for this money.
So one of my clients... it started off with the grandfather being a client, him and his wife, okay? And then he referred his son and his wife, and then his son and his wife brought me their son and daughter. So we have a phone call?
We will. We got a bunch of them.
Oh, sorry. So now the son and daughter, which would be the grandchild of the first client, they now have... They just had a child. So now it's the great-grandchild of my original client.
Yep.
They came in to open up an account for their child.
Sure.
The grandparents, which would be the son of the original client, they came in to open up a 529. And when the son found out that we had opened up a 529 from his parents, he said, well, can we open up another account? So we opened up an UGMA. And then somehow he read about this already, and he was the first one to call about finding out about this. So he wants to get this set up for the child also.
It's real money. It's for real people just like you out there. You can call Jose. We got a bunch of people on hold. We're going to take these calls in a moment at 508-996-0500. Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Funds are generally inaccessible until the child turns 18, with few exceptions.
Okay.
Okay. Once a child turns 18, the account would operate under the rules similar to a traditional IRA, which means what? If you take it out prematurely,
you
will
pay
a tax.
And penalties,
and the penalty, yes. I believe the penalty might be 10%, but I'm not sure yet. I haven't read that anywhere yet.
It's all free money, though.
I'm going to go over the form afterwards.
Sure.
All right. If we want
to let's go. Let's go to the calls. Headphones. Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Jose.
Hello.
So I DoorDash, and at the end of the year, probably half my earnings is tips.
Yep.
But some people pay more than, tip me more than DoorDash pays, and some people don't tip at all.
Right.
So am I this year only going to have to claim the DoorDash pay and none of the tips? Is that how it works?
Okay, I don't know what you've been doing, and I don't want to kind of tread on that area if you've been doing something that is not what the IRS wants, okay? Because I don't want anybody getting in trouble. All right. If for some reason just somebody hypothetical has never been putting in their tips legally, you should have been.
No, it comes with DoorDash. It comes right on the form that you get.
Okay,
so it doesn't come from me.
All right,
DoorDash knows how much tips you got, and they say how much it is.
Okay, so if you had been listening from the beginning of the program, that part about the tips, I have not gotten complete clarification as of yet. But yes, there's a new form that your accountant or tax preparer is going to have to put in the amount of the tip. So your regular pay from DoorDash is going to be claimed on your 1040 like you normally do, or if you have another job, same thing. And then your tip money is going to go on this new form, and whatever the deduction is, whatever's left over after the deduction, that then flows back into your 1040 to get added to your regular income.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for the call. 508-996-0. We have Jose Matos here. You do taxes as well, right?
Well, I personally don't do them. Okay. I don't have the time.
Right.
I don't want to be sitting in front of the computer. That's why I pay my girls.
Yeah, you have people in the office that do them, though.
Right.
Yeah.
There is a young lady. It's actually a separate business. Her name is Kaylin. She is a tax preparer. Last year, there was another young lady, Chantel. She worked for she's a CPA, actually, certified. Nice. She worked at another firm down the road. The owner kind of, I don't know, he went out in left field to do something else. He put the business up for sale. She was actually buying in to become a partner. And then that kind of fell apart when he decided he wanted to try to sell his business.
Okay.
So she joined Kaylin as a partnership. So now we have a tax preparer and a CPA.
Oh, nice.
Kaylin has been in my office in my building since 2011, but she's actually been preparing taxes since she was 18 and still in high school because she worked for her grandfather, who was a tax preparer in Westport. Yeah. So she's almost 40 now. She's either 36 or 39. So she knows her stuff.
And we'll be talking more about that as we continue. We got a bunch of people here on hold. Let's get to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding. You're live with Jose Matos.
Hello.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Jose. How are you?
I'm well.
Paul,
how are you?
What's happening?
Good. I have a situation. I'm retired from Johnson & Johnson. I have a 30-year pension, and I'm 57 years old. And
good for you.
People always tell me, should try to take your pension out now, but then I'm getting conflict of information where it drops off at 62 because of Social Security. So I'm wondering if I should take my pension now, or should I just wait to 62 years old?
So you haven't started taking it yet?
No.
Okay. So there are
I've been pushing it off.
There are some pension plans that will adjust once you start to collect Social Security. Not all of them, so I would have to look into that. I do believe that Johnson & Johnson also gives you the option of taking a single lump sum. And here's the difference that I normally tell my clients. Look, if you apply to get your monthly pension, which you can, and then you're married, which you might be, and you don't want to disinherit your spouse, you're going to take a haircut on your payout to leave some there that if you prematurely pass, that now your wife will get something. But it's just normally between spouses. Now, there are plans, pension plans, that allow for a guaranteed 5-year payout or a guaranteed 10-year payout. So if you're not married but you have kids, you can opt for one of those, because if you prematurely pass before the 5th year or the 10th year, then your kids could get the balance of that 5 years or 10 years. Those are few and far between that I usually get those choices. But what I tell clients is, if you take the monthly stipend and you're married and you collect for a year and you pass, and then your spouse collects for a year and she passes, who gets the balance of that money? It goes back to the company. But if you take a lump sum and you invest it, it could potentially do very, very well. You can take it as you need to. It doesn't have to be their number. It could be whatever number you want. And again, if you collect for a year and pass, and then your spouse collects for a year and passes, now the balance of the money, which was invested, now goes to your kids.
Yeah, but the life annuity, Jose, I saw the number for life annuity.
Yep.
That number stays the same throughout my history of my life.
Correct,
life
correct.
Annuity.
And if you're not...
A lower
listen,
number.
Listen, if again, if you're not married, you might want to take the monthly stipend and not have to worry about it. But I'm giving listeners also the knowledge of knowing that right. You can do either or if it's available. Not all pensions allow you to take a lump sum.
Right.
Some do. So when the answer wasn't necessarily just on your behalf, but just more of in general. But if you're going to take the monthly amount... and you're getting conflicting information, you should call Johnson & Johnson directly in the pension department and ask them, listen, when I start to collect my Social Security, is my number going to change? Now, if you're 57 and whether you're working or not and you haven't started taking your pension, why not? You can. Because that pension amount will not be affected by your earnings.
Right, but I looked at the number, because the number is like, I leave a lot of money on the table, Jose, compared to 62, where I max out my pension, which is a good amount of money.
Okay,
monthly,
so
versus
that,
if I take it out now.
So that's the same story that I hear. Should I take my Social Security at 62 or 65 or 67? And there's a calculation you can do. So normally, I do the calculation for a client, because they're obviously going to get a much bigger number at 67, which is their full retirement age,
right,
than at 62, which is going to be a reduced amount. The reduction is about 7% per year for every year you take it out earlier than your full retirement age. So that's about a 35% decrease. But if you're going to continue to work, then don't take the Social Security. And in your case, you might not want to take the pension. But if you're not going to go back to work, and you need the money, then you take it at 62
right.
or 63.
Right.
Because once you do the calculation and you don't take the money up front at the earlier year age, because you're not working anymore and you're going to wait because you want the bigger check, it takes about 10 to 12 years to recoup what you didn't take
right.
from the 62 on till your full retirement age.
Right.
But again, it's your choice. It's each individual person's choice.
Yeah, because I look at the numbers every year. I wait; it's another, like $300-$400.
And in your case, if you're comfortable waiting because you've got other income, then by all means, wait.
Yeah.
But the point was, do the calculation. If I start now,
thanks
how much am I going to collect, and how much longer would it then take me to recoup what I didn't start to collect right from the get-go?
We're going to take a break, and then we'll come back. We're going to get to all those phone calls that are there. I see you on hold, all of my friends in the audience. We're going to make sure we get to you. You know, it's that magical time of the year here on the South Coast when your car won't start, your wallet's empty, and that special someone in your life has champagne dreams. Well, don't panic. Mid-City Scrap in Westport has your back. They're paying top dollar for junk cars, running cars, rusted cars, even frozen solid cars. It really doesn't matter. They'll tow it for free. They'll get it out of your yard, get it out of your sight, and get you the cash you need for those Christmas gifts or for investing. That means more gifts, more cash for gifts, heating oil, and let's be honest, more eggnog, right? Mid-City Scrap. Call them today or stop by their headquarters. You really can't miss them. 548 State Road in Westport. Mid-City Scrap. Turning junk cars into cash all winter long. We'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health. Advanced medicine, more care. Huh.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Together we have grown. We have grown. Although our love is still special, let's take a chance and fly away somewhere alone.
It's been too long since we took the time. No one's to blame. No time.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. We have a special guest, Jose Matos, here in the studio. Jose's a financial advisor, and I'm talking about the Trump tax bill, that was passed and signed into law, and the Trump savings account. We're taking your calls at 508-996-0. Finally, got a bunch of people on hold. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Do we have time to do an RMD for dummies? Just a quick calculation to see if I got this right.
We could. How old are you?
Okay. I turned 73 in July.
Okay. So you take.
So I did the calculation. Yep. I looked at the factor. It says 26.5.
Correct.
Divide the 26.5 into the balance you had on your birthday.
No.
And that's going to generate the figure that you have. Okay.
No.
Go ahead.
No. You divide the number that your account had on December 31st of the prior year.
December 31st.
Yes. So in your case, it's December 31st of 2024. And I say the prior year because next year it'll be December 31st of this year. So you take your number, whatever it was, end of year value, December 31st, you'll get your statement in January. Okay. Or you can call the company directly. They'll tell you. And then you take
this is a TSP through the government.
Doesn't matter. It's a retirement account. It's the same factor and the same calculation. So it's December 31st.
Right.
Now, if you had rolled it into an IRA, let's say, because you can, okay?
Yeah.
That would still be the same number, December 31st of the prior year. So let's say that you had rolled over your money in November. It wouldn't be at the TSP anymore. It would be whatever the IRA number would be, whether it be at a bank or an investment firm. It would be the number on December 31st of whatever the prior year was. So if you had rolled over your money in November of last year, it would be December 31st of the new account. If you rolled over your money in January, it would still be whatever the TSP number would have been December 31st of last year. And then you take that gross and you divide that number by your 26.5.
Now, that's why I'm saying for dummies. Are they saying I'm going to live 26 until like 99 years old?
Again, the bean counters had to have an age, a number, because you're not supposed to be able to outlive your income. So, yes, that's basically what it's saying, is that if you are 73, you have the chance. Again, they're calculating this on millions of heads.
Sure. Okay?
You have the chance of living another 26 and a half years. Now, you go out 26 and a half years from your 73. That should put you in around 94 or 95, if I'm not mistaken. Right?
Yeah.
That number then has another calculation, like another 10 years. That'll put you at like 104. That number has another calculation at either 3.5 or 4.5 years. And once you hit that number that the government has, then it goes out either a year and a half after that. So could you live till 150? I don't know. Depends on your genes. But the government has to have a factored number to be able to do these calculations.
Yeah that ain't going to happen. But anyway, thank you. I'm trying to see if I'm following the bouncing ball. You know what I mean?
You were close. And if you ever have an issue.
And then finally, they told me, because it's the government, TSP, they said if you do nothing right now, you're not going to get any penalty. But like in April, we're going to give you a lump sum deposit to pay the taxes basically on what you were supposed to take.
Okay, I wouldn't actually believe them about not having a penalty. The penalty has not been enforced, but it is there. It's 25% of what you were supposed to take plus your tax.
Jose, how do people get in touch with you? Where's the office?
The office is at 725 State Road in Westport. The telephone number is 508-678-3715.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Hi, Fast. He's a really knowledgeable guy. And what, like I was saying, before he left, he's heard every type of family situation, money situation. So he's a good resource, a really good resource. And you can hear him here every Saturday morning. I'm going to bring him back again, probably the start of next year, maybe February, something. I don't know. We'll bring Jose back because this is a lot. A lot has changed with Donald Trump, I think for the better. I think most of us are going to